Well, go ahead and leave your songbooks out. We're going to do a little bit of singing this morning and what I would call a singing sermon. And hopefully it'll go along very well with some of the points that we're going to make. Good to have our visitors. Visitor, Kendra, good to see you. If you've seen her daughter, she sure is growing. She's getting to be quite a little personality. And I hope that things are well at your home. Good to see everybody. So we're going to talk about knowing where you're going is what I've titled this lesson this morning. And, you know, there's got to be more to life than just meandering through life. It just seems that there, you know, you just live and then you die. And that's, I think, just the way a lot of people approach life. This can't be all there is. It can't be. Just thinking about this from... We all have these connections with people and life, and then we just cease to exist, and that's it. And that's depressing when you think about it. That somehow humanity is this product of nothingness and time and chance, and that's all there is. And that defiles logic, it defiles reason within the mind that God Himself gave us. All of us are confronted with this question at one time or another. Is there a God? And if there is no God, then what's the point? You live and die. That's it. And listen, if you lived it up, if you eat, drink, and be merry, and you lived it up, you won't even know it. You're dead. So it just, that's all there is. And that's why, if you think about this from the standpoint of how millions and millions of people on earth, and why they are such troubled souls. Because that's it. It's just, you just exist and then you die. But at some point in time, as I've talked to members of the church that lived a life of all kinds of ill-begotten things, and then they just found themselves saying, there's got to be more to life than what I'm involved in now. And then they were presented with the gospel. But when you think about millions of people who have no self-worth, they see no value because, again, they're just a product of time and chance. They don't have a purpose. What would their purpose in life be? They don't have a purpose. They don't even have a direction. And so a lot of people just meander around. You know, all they're doing is following the steps of mom and dad who brought them up with no self-worth, no purpose, and no direction in which to go. And I'll tell you, what's even sadder is for those who have parents that taught their children their self-worth and taught them about God and taught them about their purpose in serving in Him and gave them a direction in life. And then they find fulfillment, not in that, but in the pleasures of this life. And then they just simply reject all that and they accept the things that just simply will not last. And so life makes absolutely no sense, really, without God and without Him revealing Himself to us, making Himself known to us. God making known to us our value and our worth. We talked about last week about John 3:16, God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. God loves you, that you have this worth, that you have purpose, that you've been given a direction, and that you can find your fulfillment in serving God. And that's going to be our 4 points of the sermon. You are of value to God. You have a purpose. You have a direction to take your life. And we're going to talk about our eternal home. We'll talk a moment about heaven. Let's start with Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I recently taught on the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus, in this section that you probably have where it talks about, don't you worry, don't have worries, trust in God. In verse 26, He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Look at the birds. Jesus asks, I want you to take a look. Birds are the perfect example of God's great care. You know why? Because a bird doesn't go out and plant anything. You know what? I've been watching for weeks now. My office sits in the corner, and I overlook the neighbor's swimming pool. And I don't know what's going on over there, but there is a squirrel that he is busy this time of year all the time. All the time. He's going back and forth. And I know what he's doing. He's getting ready for winter. I just can't figure out if he's burying the nuts or there's a stockpile next door somewhere at the neighbor's house. Birds, I don't look out my window. You know what I see a lot right now? I'm seeing a lot of crows. And what the crows are doing is every day they're going around and they're picking around in the yard and they're getting their food. They're not sowing. They're not reaping a harvest. They don't do that. They're not storing up food. They're getting their daily food from God. Every day. Every day. He says, I want you to look at the birds. But then did you catch what he said at the end of the verse? Are you not of more value than they? Each day is a brand new day where they go out and they get their daily blessings from, notice it says, our Heavenly Father or your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father, he's talking to us, every day is feeding the birds. And you are of more value than they. You are far greater of value than the birds. And I'll tell you, in this day and age, you can get thrown in prison if you talk what I'm about to say. You are far of greater value than any animal on the planet. I don't care if it's your favorite pet and they're just like one of the family. They are an animal, and in the eyes of God, you have greater value. When they die, they're dead. But God gave us a piece of Himself, and you are greater than any animal, and you are of great value, self-worth in the eyes of God. And I'm thinking again about last week's lesson, that God would send His only begotten Son for you. Why? Because you are of great value to God. Look at John chapter 10. This is in the section of Jesus talking about that He is the Good Shepherd. He is the door. Jesus is the way and access back to God, and He is the great shepherd that's giving care. Notice what it says in verse 7 of John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus came to earth so that His sheep can have life and they can have life more abundantly. Not only do you have the essentials that you need as a Christian and that you're given all that is need, all the spiritual blessings that come in Christ to make your life happy, to live an abundant life and to not just merely exist. But do you ever get that way? Sometimes you can get down, can't you? You can just feel like I'm just kind of meandering along in life. I just kind of am existing. It's just like day in and day out and day in and day out. I would remind you of just how valuable you are to God. And you need to know that God knows who you are and that you are very, very precious to Him. I've chosen number 478 to sing. Number 478. The Lord has been mindful of me. We'll sing all three verses. That last verse says, I'm rich, I am saved, I'm happy, I've health and prosperity. I have friends, I have doors ever opened. The Lord has been mindful of me. Yes, God, we are of such great value. And a lot of people struggle with this idea of their self-worth. But in the eyes of God, you are so very, very precious. But not only are we of great value to God, but He's given us a purpose. As I mentioned at the start, a lot of people are just struggling. And today they say, I'm just trying to find out who I am. I'm just trying to find who my identity. And sadly, a lot are so confused that they want to identify as a gender that they weren't even born as. And a lot of people, what am I supposed to do with my life? That's where they find themselves. But what is it that God has done for us, and especially us who are Christians, to think about how do we deal with these challenges in life? Well, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we have the Apostle Paul, who Brother Easter, during his thoughts around the table, when he was talking about scourging, did you notice it went into the Jewish scourging of Paul? And Paul suffering like that because he was a Christian. And just thinking about the struggle sometimes that we go through. But notice what Paul himself says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In fact, we have a song that we sing that uses those words. Christ lives in me. What is my purpose? To let Christ be reflected in my life. The way I talk to people, the way I help people, the way I have compassion with people. He says, I die to sin and I live for Christ. That is our purpose, to lay aside all of this so that we can live a life that reflects Christ and let Christ live in us. In fact, the scriptures talk about taking my life and conforming it into the very image of Christ. What does that mean? You want to look like Jesus. You want to be like him, not like be like Mike, the old slogan of Michael Jordan. You want to be like Jesus Christ. So what is my purpose? To be a reflection of Christ in the world. There's great purpose that's found in that. Think about that. When we studied the Sermon on the Mount, you are salt, you are light. That gives you purpose in life. Let your light shine. Being kind to others when everybody else wants to be harsh. Sharing the gospel with others. In other words, wanting them to have this abundant joy that you have, having your sins forgiven, having a relationship with Christ. That gives you purpose in life. Serving others. I think that's one of the things that we get so wrapped up in ourselves, maybe even so down, that anybody will tell you, what do you do when you get that way? They say you're only thinking about yourself. The way you feel better is pick yourself up and think about somebody else and do something for somebody else. Go help them. I told you my nephew, it seems like he's doing a little bit better. He's got health problems and he struggles with that. And he was doing well and he just got knocked back down with some health issues. But it seems like he's picking himself up and he's figuring that out. And one of the things that he did was when the hurricane came through, he started going out and using his strength to try to help people. What can I do? What can I pick up? That gets him out of his own little world. And that's what happens. We get in our own little world and we don't serve others. We only sit back and think, well, nobody's serving me. Why haven't they called? Why haven't they done this? Why haven't they done that? How come nobody thinks of me? You show mercy. Jesus had mercy. There's times that people don't warrant for you to do things that are kind and good, but you show mercy. Or maybe they've done something and you forgive. And you understand that there's purpose in that, because when you forgive, God forgives you. When you show mercy, God is merciful to you. But what you're doing is you're reflecting Christ. And one of the words that comes up often around Christ is he looked at, say, the multitude, and they said, Jesus, send them all away. This crowd's been with you all day. They're hungry. You need to send them back into the towns so they can eat. And he said, how much food do you have? Why did he do that? He had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. That's why he fed them. Because he had that yearning within to solve that problem. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the scripture reading that Steve read for us, if you would turn back to that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Christ suffered for us in the flesh. And notice it says that we no longer, verse 2, should live the rest of our time in the flesh for the lust of men. But what is our purpose? To live our life for the will of God. You want purpose in your life, then have that purpose. I am here to do the will of God and to reflect His Son. You may have goals. You may have goals. You may have various purposes in life. You might think, well, I'm purposing to do this, I'm purposing to do that. But ultimately, a Christian has to live their life with the purpose of doing the will of God. So whatever your goal may be, it can't supersede that. That's why Jesus would say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Nothing can supersede that goal. Everything fits in the parameters because you have a purpose. And so the song that I thought of to make this point is number 335. Number 335. Live for Jesus. Can you get up every morning and live for Jesus? Sometimes before our feet hit the ground, maybe we ought to think, why am I here? What am I doing? My purpose is to live for Jesus. We're going to sing the first and the third verse. Jesus gave His life that you might live, that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly, that you can have a purpose in life. And also, we need to have a direction. And this is where some people, they determine what their purpose is, but it's not in the right direction. It's not in the right direction. Closely tied to your purpose is the direction a person is taking. And a lot of people is like, I don't know where I'm going. You ever meet somebody like that? They don't know where they're going. And a lot of times you'll recognize them because they can't stick to anything. They don't seem to have, they don't have a direction in life. And sadly, a lot of times that's just because of poor upbringing and the environment, sadly, that they found themselves in. But when you have God's Word to give us an aim and a direction, it is so wonderful. People can be all over the place. They're here and they're there. And they wander around in life, and it just says they just have no direction. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This is why this passage is such a good one, because it gives you the direction. It tells you, here's where you steer, here's where you go. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. If you need or are looking for direction in your life, then what do? Read that passage sometime. In fact, I read it, and all you want to do is do this. Seek those things which are above. What is it doing? It's pointing us not here. He says, in fact, he says, not on things of the earth, which is down here. Everything in this verse makes us point in a direction upward, doesn't it? In fact, he uses that word. Set your mind on things above. Seek those things which are above. Everything in that passage says, don't put your direction down here. Does that mean, again, you have goals and things? Yes, because you're living your life as a Christian and you have purpose, you're in the world. But what direction are you headed? Always upward, seeking those things which are above. It points you in a direction. Above points you in the direction. And yet sometimes we get down. Sometimes we struggle to find something to aim for. You know what the Bible always does? It always points you up. It points you up. Not away from God, but towards God. And sometimes we make the mistake when we're down or struggling to go away from God when times are difficult, when we're struggling within. But the Bible says that's when you draw yourself closer to God. and go towards Him and go in an upward direction. We haven't had a lot of rain. We've had a lot of beautiful sky, haven't we? Not a lot of clouds. You can go out any night and just stare at the stars and think upward and think about where God is and think about seeking the things. Remember, we've been talking in our Bible class, we've been talking about wisdom that comes from above, from God, not wisdom from below, down here. Get it from up there. So everything that we have says this is the direction that you go in. We sing the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." G.O. Scriven wrote, "Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer." And prayer is a way that we can go and we can talk to God, who cares and loves us, and we're of great value. Peter said, you cast all your cares upon Him, all your anxiety. Why? Because He cares for you. And so we've got the teaching and the direction and the ways to go. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Just back up a page or two in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected," Paul said, "but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." There's that other, that's don't reach back. And I think about when He says, you don't look back when you're plowing, Jesus said. You don't reach back, you keep reaching forward. And again, so not only is our direction upward, but so that's why you'll have somebody say, onward and upward. Onward and upward. So what's our direction? I picture it like that. I'm going up and I'm going that direction towards God. There is absolutely direction. When we're going down and can't seem to find our way, look up and remember where you're going. Get up and remember where you're going. Reach forward. Know where you're going. That's why we like the song, "Sing to Me of Heaven," or "There's a Rainbow in the Sky." Because that's always pointing us and pressing us on to what? Something better. "Somewhere Over the Rainbow" was sung in such a popular song. Let's sing number two in the supplement book. Number two, "Higher Ground." "An Eternal Home." Sometimes when life is heavy, it helps to think of heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4, Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4, John was told to write, he said, "I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." You can long for that day. The day that God dwells with you and you with God. You know, that's such a theme of the Old Testament, was God, the tabernacle and the temple and something that would represent Him being with His people, and then the people rebelled. But in heaven, you will dwell with God and God will be with you. And there will be a day where He Himself will wipe away your tears. And does life have pain? Yes, but that pain will be gone. Is there death? Yes, but there will be no more death. That's been cast. Hades and death are cast into the lake of fire. And there will be no more heavy heart. And so with purpose every day, you serve God. And you know where you're ultimately heading. So you go that way. And so what do? Well, you sit sometimes and you long to see God and you long to be with Jesus, our Savior. Also in Revelation chapter 20, or John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, another familiar passage to us. Jesus, when He was telling His disciples, His apostles in the upper room, kept saying, "I'm leaving, I'm going to go." And so He says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled," verse 1, "you believe in God, believe also in Me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. You know the way to heaven. And in our Father's house, there's many dwelling places. There's many homes. There's plenty of room. There's place. And when you think about these things from earthly terms, God's saying you have a dwelling place in heaven. And it's being prepared. But heaven is a place that's being prepared for the faithful, for you and for I. And it's there for all the faithful throughout all the generations and throughout all the time to be with God. Heaven is a place that is being prepared for you. And right now, we stand at the bank. And think about Jordan's stormy banks, I stand. What is that song talking about? You remember when Israel finally, after the 40 years wandering, they got to the banks of the Jordan River before it was parted, and they went into the promised land. And so, very poetic fashion, we stand on Jordan's stormy banks, casting a wishful eye, not to the Canaan. But we sing about that, don't we? To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. What is that talking about? We are going to the promised land. And so now here on earth, what do? We stand in a sense on the bank of the Jordan, waiting to cross over into our promised land, into heaven, as Samuel Stennett put it. Our life is right now on earth. But there's nothing that should stop us from thinking of heaven and just how wonderful it's going to be. And so I thought of, as our last song, number 196 in our red book, 196. Let's sing the first and the second verse of How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. Well, those of us who are Christians, children of God, we have so much to look forward to. No matter what we suffer through, no matter what it may be, the Scriptures teach us that there's nothing in comparison, nothing that's even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed from us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, Paul wrote, "For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We cannot faint. We must keep pressing on, and we should never grow weary in well-doing. God loves us, and we are of great value. He's given us a purpose. He's given us a direction, and we can long and think about and reflect on and dream of our heavenly home. Just remember just how beautiful heaven is going to be. You might be here this morning, and you're not a Christian. You're not a child of God. You need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to help you to do that. If you're a child of God and things are amiss and all of this is not something that seems real and maybe there's a sin that needs to be confessed, we stand ready to help you also as we sing our invitation song.